We have a few missing tonight, but we're glad we do have all that are here. And we encourage you to take your Bibles and follow along, because tonight we're going to look with a lesson entitled Approved of God or Unto God, Being a Productive Christian. You remember this morning in our lesson we talked about being approved of God, and our text was 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 through 19. And we pose the question, why study or be diligent? We made 6 points. Those being that because life is short, death is certain, and we need to redeem the time. Second point was to be a pleasing and faithful servant. Third point was because the effort is worth it. Fourth point was because God expects the best of us. Fifth point, because God has given man his best. And sixth point, so that we handle God's word rightly. Now, over in John chapter 15, beginning at verse 1, we see where Jesus said, I am the vine, and my Father is a husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you're clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, and no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bring forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast him into the fire, they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, shall ask what you will, and shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. See, Jesus uses agriculture, or horticulture, if you will, to teach a lesson that we have to abide in him, just like for a branch to bear fruit, it must abide in the vine. If it's cut off, it will die. And they're often trimmed and pruned to bear more fruit. So we need to be productive. And Jesus is teaching that we need to produce fruit, isn't he? As we think about this in our introduction, now there are numerous self-help guides addressing how we can be more productive in life. Now being productive is important in business and work, isn't it? Now, when an employer employs an individual, he wants them to produce. But the scriptures teach that we are to be productive in our spiritual lives, just like we read in John 15, verses 1 through 8. So we must regain the time. We must use the time effectively. We must use the time wisely as we go through life. And so as we think about regaining the time, we need to always strive to use our time in a fashion that's not just busy time, but being productive as we go through our spiritual lives. In Ephesians chapter 5, beginning at verse 15, Paul said there in verse 15, he says, see that ye then walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Redeem the time, because the days are evil. He says, wherefore be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. So we must use our time effectively. We must be busy doing what's right. But, you know, being busy, we can be busy but not productive, though, can we? Ever thought about that? A lot of people are busy doing nothing. So we need to be busy doing what's right. See, one can be busy in the practice of sin. That was God's people's problem in Jeremiah's day. In Jeremiah chapter 9, beginning at verse 1, Jeremiah wrote, oh, that my head were waters and mine eyes as a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. Oh, that I had in the wilderness a lodging place of wayfaring men, that I might leave my people and go from them, for they all be adulterers and an assembly of treacherous men. And they bend their tongues like their bow for lies, and they are not valiant for truth upon the earth. They proceed from evil to evil. They know not me, saith the Lord. Take ye heed, every one of his neighbor, and trust ye not in any brother. For every brother will utterly supplant, and every neighbor will walk with slanders. They will deceive every one his neighbor. will not speak the truth. They have taught their tongue to speak lies and wear themselves to commit iniquity. It's not a very high thing to say about individuals, but that's what was going on in Isaiah's day or Jeremiah's day. See, Paul taught the Romans to not serve sin. Romans chapter 6, beginning at verse 11, Paul told the Romans there to not be the servants of sin. He said, beginning at verse 11, likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then he said, let not sin reign, therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. So we see where Paul urges them to render obedience to God's word, to remain in that, not to be the servant of sin. He says, know ye not that whom ye yield yourselves service to obey ye are, to whom ye obey ye are, let me back up. He says, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves a service to obey, that servants ye are ye to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Are we serving obedience or sin, we might ask ourselves. See, Paul rebuked those in Thessalonica. Some were busy. They were busy being busybodies, weren't they? They were busybodies. They were putting their nose in other men's mouths, and Paul rebuked them for it. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, beginning at verse 6, Paul said there, now we commend you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, not after the tradition which he received of us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we behaved not ourselves disorderly among you, neither did we eat meat or any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be charged with any of you. Not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an example unto you. For even when we were with you, we command you that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. So some are busy, aren't they? But not doing what's right. Then in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 11, Paul said, and that ye study to be quiet, and to do your own business, and to work with your own hands, as we commanded you. So he qualified how they were to be busy. Then Peter warned us about being involved in other people's affairs. He said, let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as a busybody in other men's matters. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 13, Paul talked about various women. And he said, withal they learned to be idle, wandering about from house to house. Not only idle, but tattlers, and also busybodies, speaking things that they ought not. So he talked about those that were busy in the wrong way. See, we can be busy doing that that's not good, can't we? We have to be careful about that. All right, and then we can be busy with the affairs of this life. Now, Martha was busy with physical serving. Remember Martha? We had a lesson on that a while back. In Luke chapter 10, beginning at verse 38, it came to pass that as they went, that Jesus entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister named Mary, or called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about with much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost not thou care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. She chose the good part. She focused on spiritual things. She heard Jesus teaching. That's what she was focused on. Mary was busy with the spiritual things. Verse 42, as we read. So it's good to serve others. It's good to be busy serving others physically. I mean, because Paul taught the Romans in Romans chapter 12, verse 13, to distribute to the necessities of faith and be given to hospitality. Peter also taught the same thing. He says, use hospitality one to another without grudging. So we're to be hospitable. That's a mark of a Christian. Then we need to be involved in spiritual things. They are the things that are good, the good part. The spiritual things are the things that Mary focused on, remember. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, beginning at verse 7, Paul said, but refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself unto godliness, for by the exercise profit little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having the promise of life that now is and that which is to come. This is a faithful thing worthy of all acceptation. So it's good to serve. It's good to be getting some exercise, isn't it? Some people they're infatuated with having big biceps and rock hard abs, things of that nature. But what good will that do you in the life to come? It won't do you a bit of good, will it? You have to be able to discern properly the proper things that we should be busy doing. See, we can be busy in secular work. Over in Luke chapter 14, we find a man, or the parable of the great supper. Jesus spake this. He said, a certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said to him, I bought a piece of ground. I must need to go see it. I pray thee have me excused. Another said, I have married a wife, therefore I cannot come. And one bought oxen and said he couldn't come. And the master of the house, being angry, when he heard these excuses made, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of these men which were bidden shall take at my supper. The king's invitation was ignored, as we read. And they all begin to make excuse, verse 18 through 20. One said, I bought a piece of ground. I must need to go see it. One said, I bought a yoke of oxen. I must go see it. Another said, I married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. See, the Lord was angry, wasn't he? The Master Christ was angry when he heard that. And he'll be angry with us if we go through life making excuses and not being productive Christians. Next, we need to be busy being productive. Now, how can we do that? I want to give you some ways to do that. Consider tonight. How to be busy being productive. First of all, recognize what is really important. Paul did. Now, Paul, when he was a persecutor, he, well, thank Lord and those powers that he had to be able to persecute people. But over in Philippians chapter 3, Paul said, beginning at verse 7, he said, but what things were gained to me? He's talking about his Jewish heritage. What things were gained to me? Those I counted lost for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things, but lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung or refuse, that I might win Christ, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I might know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. So Paul gave it up. He gave all up. He didn't bring any loose or old baggage with him, did he? See, Paul cared about the churches. He talked about his persecutions. That's interesting. Paul didn't complain about being persecuted and going through the hardships that he did. He gloried in it. Most of us would be complaining about how bad we have it. But Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning at verse 24, he says, "Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one." Have we ever been beaten like Paul was? We haven't. He says, "Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned, thrice was I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I've been in the deep, and journeyings often, and perils of robbers, or in perils of robbers, and perils of mine own countrymen, and perils by the heathen, and perils by the sea, and perils in the wilderness, and perils in the sea, and perils among false brethren, and weariness, and painfulness, and watchings often, and hunger and thirst, and fastings often, and cold and nakedness." Notice that besides those things which are without, that which comes upon me daily, the care of all the churches. That was Paul's focus, to please God and to think how to make up for what he had destroyed when he was a persecutor. See, Jesus emphasized the spiritual over the physical. In Matthew chapter 11 or 16, beginning at verse 24, Jesus said unto the disciples, "If any man come after him, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it." Then he said, "For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange?" So the soul is of more value than any and all value the earth has. See, Paul said there's more important things in this life. Those important things are being obedient to Christ. So there's nothing more important than doing that. Paul said, "We are confident, I said, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things in his body according to what he has done, whether it be good or whether it be evil." So there's nothing more important in this life than obedience to Christ. Next, focus on what is really important. Are we focusing on the kingdom? In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." First doesn't mean second, does it? Means first. We're to put first place in all things. We're to align our priorities. For God's will, his work is first place. So do we do that? When we're planning, if we're going to go on a trip, do we first plan where we're going to worship? You ever thought about that? People go on a trip and they go to find a congregation, they can't find one. You should have done that first thing. If you can't find one where you're going, find someplace else to go. That's what I think about it. But we need to put God's word first. See, just to know and not focus on the importance of no value, because our affections must be set on things above. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 through 3, Paul said, "If you be then risen with Christ, set your affections on things above, where Christ sits in the right hand of God." And then when we do that, when we set our affections on things above, not on things of the earth, then we will be hid. Our life will be hid with Christ and God. We need to lay aside all cares and look to Jesus. The Hebrew writer said this in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. He says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses," and I think he's talking about those in Hebrews 11. He said, "Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and sat down on the right hand of the throne of God." So do we look for Jesus, to him as our example? Do we lay aside all cares and strive to please him? do we lay aside whatever is getting in our way of serving God? Never thought about that? And Jesus taught that we can be overcome by cares of this world in the parable of the sower. In Luke verse 8, verse 14, it says, "And that which fell among the thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection." See, we can be choked out easily. Have you ever planted a garden and you neglected it and gone out to find that it's choked up with weeds, and the weeds are robbing the nourishment that the plants need in order to be productive? But the weed goes out, no. So you need to spend time on what is really important. Now, reading and studying the Scriptures daily should be important to us. Remember, Paul says, "See that you walk circumspectly, carefully, cautiously, not as fools, but as wise." How do we gain wisdom? By redeeming the time, by studying God's Word, because the days are evil. There's so much evil out there. It bothers me to see what young kids are going to have to go through years later. See, we need to realize what the Bible can do for us. Now, this morning we talked how we can be approved of God. The Bible tells us that, doesn't it? We have to put some diligent effort. Because Paul said, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." So when we study God's word, we're approved of God. We won't be ashamed. We won't handle God's word incorrectly. We'll handle it right. We'll handle it right. See, it equips us for every good work. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, Paul said, "All scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and it's possible for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. The man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished into all good works." See, God's word is inspired. It's God breathed. And there's no book written by man that is inspired like the Bible is. You hear of bestsellers. The New York Times has their bestseller list. But the real bestseller is the Bible. It's always the bestseller year after year after year. And it doesn't go away. All these other books that men write, they just kind of fade out of the picture, don't they? And they can't get you to heaven. Remember I mentioned what one man said? He said, if you want to go to Utah, get a map. If you want to go to heaven, read the Bible. Read the Bible. See, it's able to give us an inheritance. Paul, when he was with the Ephesian elders, he said, "Now, brethren, I commend you to God and the word of his grace, which is able to build you up, to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified." What book of man can do that? So we need to spend time reading and studying the Scriptures daily. Next, we need to spend time praying to God daily. We can obtain peace and guardianship of God by praying unto Him. Paul said, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ." So do we pray? You know, that'll be a subject we'll look at down the line. You know, are we approved of God in our prayer? Something to think about, isn't it? See, we can come with confidence to the throne of grace. The Hebrew writer said in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, he said, "Seeing that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." And then he said, "Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Certainly we need to pray to God when we need Him. But not just when we need Him. Because we always need Him. But we need to pray and thank Him daily. Multiple times daily at times. Then we need to spend time on assembling with the saints. Now Peter, or Paul, or the Hebrew writer said in Hebrews chapter 10 verse 24, he said, "And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some has, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." So we cannot give encouragement, nor can we receive it when we're not here, can we? You can't encourage anybody. Nobody can encourage you when you're not here. Think about that. So when we're here, we need to stir up or provoke to love and good works. We need to encourage one another. Our presence encourages one another. I'm encouraged when we have a large crowd. I'll preach to 2 or 3, just like I'll preach to 20 or 30. Remember verse 26. And a willful forsaking of assembly is willful sin. Think about that. So are you approved in your assembly unto God? Then we need to spend time fulfilling our earthly responsibilities. We need to obey the civil laws and rulers. Paul made this clear over in Romans chapter 13, beginning at verse 1. He says, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resists the power resists the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is a minister, that is, civil government, is a minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is a minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore he must needs be subject not only for wrath's sake, but also for conscience. For for this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute is due, custom is due, and fear to whom fear is due, honor to whom honor is due." We need to obey civil laws and civil authority. We need to pay our taxes and our debts, don't we? Paul said there that we are to pay tribute. In Romans chapter 13, verse 8, notice he said, "And owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loves another hath fulfilled the law." We need to work to supply our needs. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 or 3, verse 10, he says, "For even when we were with you, this we command you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For here that there are some which are walking among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now then, that are such, we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread." We need to be not lazy, not trifling, but working. And some look at work this way. One fellow said, "I like work, it fascinates me. I can sit and watch someone do it for hours." Are we like that? Are we like that? So we need to be industrious. We need to be workers in the Lord's kingdom. We need to provide for our families. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, we see where Paul said, "If any man provide not for his own, and especially those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel or unbeliever." That's a pretty bad description of one who claims to be a Christian and won't work for his own and provide for his own. So God detests lawfulness. Solomon said in Proverbs 21, verse 25, he says, "The desire of the slothful killeth him, for his hands refuse to labor." So people are just lazy. Christians should not be lazy. Next, we need to spend time on being with other faithful Christians. Remember the importance of faithful assembly? That's part of it, isn't it? And we can encourage one another daily by daily associations. The Hebrew writer said in Hebrews chapter 12, or 3, verse 12, he says, Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief and departed from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened to the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we behold the beginning of our confidence steadfast as in Him. So we need to be encouraging one another to serve God faithfully, and to be faithful to Him, and encourage others to be faithful to Him. See, many have left their love wax cold. Jesus talked about this. He talked about how there would be many who would be deceived. In Matthew chapter 24, beginning at verse 11, Jesus said, "And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that endure unto the end, the same shall be saved." Have you ever heard about the lonely ember? You ever heard about that? The lonely ember. A member of the church who previously had been attending services regularly stopped attending. After a few weeks, the preacher and the elder decided to visit him. It was a chilly evening. That evening, they went to see him, and this preacher and the preacher and the elders found the man at home alone, sitting before a blazing fire. And guessing the reason for their visit, the man welcomed them in and invited them to have a seat on the couch and a big chair near the fireplace. So these three visitors, the preacher and the two elders, made themselves comfortable but said nothing. In a great silence, the preacher contemplated the play of the flames around the burning logs. After a few minutes, the preacher took the fire tongs and carefully picked up a brightly burning ember and placed it to one side of the hearth, all alone. Then he sat back down in his chair, still silent. The man who they went to visit watched all this in quiet fascination. As they were getting ready to leave, he noticed that the lone ember, that the flame had dissipated, gone out totally. It was black. It was dead. It was dead as a doornail. Not a word was spoken. Not a word had been spoken since the greeting, initial greeting. Just before the elders and the preacher were ready to leave, the preacher went back and he picked up that cold, dead ember and placed it back in the middle of the fire. Immediately it began to glow once more with the light and warmth of the burning coals around it. And as the elder and the preacher reached the door to leave, the man said, "Thank you so much for your visit, and especially for the fiery sermon. I'll be back in church at the next assembly." That's what absent yourself will do. You'll grow cold, you'll wax cold. Your faith will die, just like that ember died. See, what do we need to do? We need to manage our efforts so that we can keep on doing what is good. You know, we all get tired, don't we? You ever get tired of studying? Not tired of studying, but tired from studying? I'll put it that way. Paul said, he told the Galatians, "You don't grow weary in well-doing." In Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, it says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Don't get tired of doing what's right. It's all right to be tired for doing what was right. If we get tired from working, God's work tires us. Don't get tired of doing it. See my point? So we need to enjoy being weary for doing well. Enjoy that. Take the time to read, study, meditate, and rest. Jesus rested over in John chapter 4, verse 6. We see where Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, there being wearied with his journey, thus sat down at the well. It was about the sixth hour, and the woman came and gave him water. In Mark chapter 6, verse 33, he encouraged his disciples to do the same, to rest. The disciples gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said unto them, "Come ye yourselves apart into a desert or a deserted place and rest a while. For there are many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat, because they were so busy trying to teach others Jesus did. They were famished. They needed to rest. We have to take a rest. It's important to take a rest. So manage your efforts. Be zealous of good works. In Titus chapter 2, verse 14, Paul said, "Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works." So we need to be a productive Christian, don't we? You know, productivity is not about just doing anything. Productivity is about properly doing the right thing. So recognize that spiritual things are the most important. Serving the Lord and the hope of heaven must be first. And we need to be productive so that we'll be approved unto God, don't we? Need to be approved unto God. Remember what John recorded Jesus saying in John 15, verse 6? Notice again there. He said, "If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And then gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned." So as we close, Paul said, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." And then verse 19, he says, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, that the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." Again, in John chapter 15, verse 68, Jesus said, "If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And then gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, my words abide in you, shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples." Being productive is important, isn't it? I hope this lesson encourages you to be productive, and we'll all, as the new year comes, we'll soon be here, but we'll be more productive this coming year than we have been in the past. Remember, you know, alien sinners must hear the gospel, must believe the gospel, repent of their sins, confess their faith in Christ, be baptized in water for the remission of sins, and erring children of God, those who have not been productive, need to change your ways, repent and pray, perhaps the thought of your heart might be forgiven you, and then strive to live faithful unto death, as John taught us to do, so that we'll receive the crown of life, that crown that will not fade away. If there's anyone here tonight who desires to respond to the Lord's invitation, we urge that you do so. Together we stand and sing the song that has been selected. Shall we stand as we sing?